I'll wait a minute. I'm in no rush. I'm in no hurry here. Praise God. Praise God. He's good, isn't he? He's so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm debating whether to preach or not, to be quite honest with you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's been a long week, hasn't it? But you made it here. The devil tried everything he could to stop you, but he couldn't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. If you do have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be looking at verse 24. Actually, before we go there, I want to start with Hebrews 4, verse 1. Go to Hebrews 4, verse 1 first. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know what? Before we read, I just feel like we should entertain this presence of the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Before we read, thank you, Lord. I think the Lord might have a word for us today. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Have your way, Father. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just a moment. Just a moment. We'll get into the word in just a moment. Hallelujah. Praise your name today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just listen to the Spirit just for a moment. Praise your name today, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name today. Glory to God, glory to God. Praise your name today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name today, God. Speak and have your way today in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just giving one more moment, a little bit longer. I feel there's a prophetic word in the house. I'm trying to give it space to come. If there's a prophetic word in your spirit, go ahead and speak it. I'm giving you license just for a little bit longer. Praise God. If not, I'm going to move forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hold up. Listen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Just be still for a minute. Be still for a minute. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Okay. Praise your name, Lord. We're going to get into the Word. Praise God. We're going to get into the Word. I believe I have what the Lord has to say. I want to give liberty to the Spirit and allow Him to flow. I don't want to quench the Spirit, but I feel like now we need to move on. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. And we're going to look at verse 1, and we'll be reading to verse 3, and then we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 through 27. Praise God. When you get to Hebrews 4, say amen. Amen. Hebrews 4, verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." This is the verse I want to focus on. "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." I want now to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll start at verse 24, and we'll be reading to verse number 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24. "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Today I want to preach to you a message entitled, "A Body at Rest." A body at rest. That title is not going to make a lot of sense to you right now, but it will in a moment. And I'll do my best to be brief, but ready your hearts and your minds to receive of the Lord. I believe I do have a word from God for you today. And I believe if we take heed to it, it will cause us to flourish. It will cause us to be successful in our walk with God and doing the business of the kingdom. Let us pray and ask for God to anoint me to speak this word that it might impact the church. I'm just a man, I can't do anything, but the Spirit of God through a man can do anything. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, right now we worship you. We thank you. We magnify you. We bless your name and glorify you. God, we thank you, God, for your Spirit. We thank you for your love and your kindness. And we pray, oh God, that our ears be open to hear what you have to say. Let our hearts, oh God, be open to take in the word and to apply it and to live it. For it is not good enough just to hear, but to be also, we must be a doer of the word. And I pray in the name of Jesus, let there be nothing, oh God, that stops or stays your hand from moving. God, let there be nothing. Every obstruction, God, that may try to stop the progress of the Spirit of God from working in this place, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We release the Spirit of God to cause liberty, there to be deliverance, there to be healing, there to be miracles and signs and wonders. We declare and release it now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We bless your name for your word, and we give you all the praise, the glory, and in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about the body. Throughout the New Testament, the church, which is called the ecclesia, the called out ones, is referred to as the body of Christ. Like hands and feet, we are part of a body or an assembly of believers. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, the Apostle Paul is showing the church of Corinth this idea that although that we are individuals, that we are a part of something greater. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. One of the things that we tend to forget in Christianity is that we are part of a body. That Christianity today has become more individualistic. about just one's own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's Jesus and me. I can stay at home and pray at home and read my Bible at home, and it's just all about the individual relationship. And although that is true, there it is an individual relationship, we must not negate the fact that we are part of a body, that we are part of an assembly, that to be a part of the church is to come together with other like-minded believers who have been baptized into the body by one Spirit. And we sometimes forget that what affects me affects my brother and my sister. There is an interconnectedness that is within the body, that you think that your trial or your struggle or your tribulation that you're confronting is simply your own. It is not. As the scripture we just read earlier, that when one member of the body suffers, all of the body suffers. All of the body is weakened, and when there is an attack that is happening on any one of us. And we must remember that we must have unity in the body of Christ if we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God. Since the human body is the basis for understanding the operation and function of the church, we should apply the same principles of having a healthy or physical body, a healthy physical body, to the body of Christ. There are three elements if you want to have a healthy body, physically, just talking naturally here. If you want to have a healthy body, you have to have three things. The first one is that you need to have good nutrition, that you need to feed your body with nutrients and vitamins and sustenance that is productive for the body instead of just junk food. And just like we need to have good nutrition in order for our body to be healthy and to operate and to function properly, we need a steady diet of the Word of God. Sadly to say that the church has become more of a motivational speaker type forum in which we hear good inspiring speeches that make us feel good and that sell self-help books, but are not actually truly the Word of God that causes us to repent, that causes us to experience conviction and eventual transformation. We need a steady diet of the Word of God. We don't need CNN or Fox News or fake news or social media. We need a steady diet of feeding on the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That one of the reasons why we are not growing, because we're not eating the right nutrition. We're hearing things that are painted and that are portrayed and presented as being the Word of God, but in fact is not the case. And the reason why we know that it's not the case, because there's no power in it to truly transform anyone's life. There is no conviction. There is no encroachment against evil and wickedness and sin. There is no rebuke, no exhortation, no correction, no chastisement that is causing people to truly grow in the body of Christ. Instead, we hear things that tickle our ears and placate our own sense of consciousness and morality to make us think that we're already good and that we're already saved. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ did not come to save you in your sins. He came to save you out of your sins, to call you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We need the Word of God. We don't need the Word of man. We don't need another self-help book. We need the Word of God. That is what we need. The Bible says, I believe it's in Job 23, verses 11 and 12, where it says that my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have desired, hallelujah, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That I esteem the Word of God like food more than my breakfast. It is my daily bread. Secondly, if the body is to be healthy, it needs exercise. And just as exercise builds muscle and stamina, we need to exercise our authority and as believers and do the Word of God. As I stated earlier, it's not enough just to hear the Word of God and to feed upon the Word of God and to meditate on the Word of God, but you don't actually grow and build strength until you exercise and apply the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That one of the things that has deceived the church is that we think that we're growing just by eating the word of God. You cannot grow unless you exercise your muscles. Otherwise, you get atrophy and your muscles will begin to shrink. You will have paralysis and be unable to function. We must be able to apply the word of God. The Bible says if you don't apply the word of God, that you're deceiving yourself. You're lying to yourself. You need to have a good nutrition of the word of God. And then you need to be doing the word of God, living the word of God, applying and speaking the word of God. If our bodies are to be healthy. When it comes to maintaining one's health, people tend to focus on those two things. They focus on nutrition and they focus on exercise. And we have all movies and videos and P90X and Beachbody and whatever you can think of and Tybo and all the stuff you hear, keto diet and all this stuff, the Atkins diet. We focus on what we eat and we focus on what we exercise. But we're neglecting a third aspect, which actually may be the most important. It's what will really stop you from having a healthy body isn't a lack of exercise necessarily or just a lack of good nutrition. It's a lack of sleep. Sleep is imperative for you to have a healthy body. I want to read just a few facts regarding the idea of sleep and that most Americans are suffering from sleep deprivation. In 1942, the average American got about 7.9 hours of sleep. In 2013, the average American gets less than 6 because we're so busy. We have so much going on. And also, we have so much technology that's constantly bombarding us and stimulating us that we can't sleep. But let me tell you what happens to the body whenever it is sleep deprived. Not getting enough sleep prevents the body from strengthening the immune system and producing more what's called cytokines to fight infection. This means a person can take longer to recover from illness, as well as having an increased risk of chronic illness. Whenever you're not getting enough sleep, your immune system is compromised, and you're more likely to get sick. And what a great time to have this particular problem, considering we've got this thing called a coronavirus going around. And the flu virus going around. You name what's going around. And Americans are getting less sleep than ever before. You are more likely to get sick when you're not resting, and also will take longer for you to recover because your immune system has been compromised. After just one night of 4 to 5 hours of sleep, there is a 70% reduction in critical anti-cancer fighting immune cells called natural killer cells. You are 70% more likely to get cancer from one night of only getting 4 to 5 hours of sleep. Sleep deprivation causes changes to hormones that regulate hunger and appetite. The hormone leptin suppresses appetite and encourages the body to expend energy. Sleep deprivation reduces leptin, the hormone ghrelin, and on the other hand, triggers feelings of hunger, and ghrelin goes up when you're short on sleep. So in other words, whenever you're short on sleep, your body tries to compensate with food. What sleep does is it suppresses the chemical that deals with hunger. And when you're lacking sleep, it no longer suppresses that. And also then the other chemical that triggers hunger is then increased. So then you're hungry all the time. And then when you're hungry all the time, what do you go to eat? Junk. Because you're sleep impaired, you can't make good sound decisions, so you choose whatever is nearby. And actually they found out that the body craves sugar and fat-like foods whenever it's sleep deprived, which means it leads to weight gain, which also leads to diabetes, which also leads to heart failure. While we're sleeping, the body produces growth hormones that enable the bones and muscles to grow and also enables the body to repair itself. Every time you go to sleep, your body is repairing itself and releasing chemicals to basically build muscle and bones. Look at all the stuff that happens from sleep. Sleep deprivation, as I said before, it's during sleep that our bodies produce these growth hormones. And that it also, sleep deprivation impacts the cardiovascular system. It is during sleep at night that you receive blood pressure medication because your heart rate drops and your blood pressure goes down. Without sufficient sleep, you're not getting a reboot of the cardiovascular system and your blood pressure goes up. You get lower blood pressure when you sleep. Because during the day you're active, so your blood pressure is always higher. But when you sleep, your blood pressure goes down because you're relaxed. It lowers hypertension and blood pressure when you're sleeping. But when you don't get enough sleep, your blood pressure gets elevated more. So the fact of the matter is that if you are only getting 6 hours of sleep a night or less, you have a 200% increased risk of having a fatal heart attack. 200% risk. Now, I think this is ironic. Because when daylight savings time begins in the spring and an hour is lost, we see a subsequent 24% increase in heart attacks the following day. What day is today, folks? It's daylight savings time. Just thought that was interesting. 1.6 billion people are affected by daylight savings time. 24% of those individuals or will probably have a fatal heart attack. That's 380 million folks. Let that sit in. Do you understand how important it is for us to get sleep? Now, see how it affects the body? Now, there's a whole bunch of other statistics I could give you, such as memory loss and so on, and causes Alzheimer's if you don't get enough sleep, and that you lose your short-term memory whenever you don't get enough sleep. And that after 16 hours of being awake, your body and your mind begin to deteriorate. At 20 hours without sleep, your body is about as functional as someone who's legally drunk. That's how important getting sleep is for the physical body. Now, let's take that and let's look at now the body of Christ. Now, the reason why I got this message is Thursday I was praying and the Lord showed me an image of a body. And when I saw the body, I saw viruses attacking the body. And when I saw the viruses attacking the body, the Lord spoke to me and said that the body of Christ is not getting enough rest. And because they're not getting enough rest, their autoimmune system does not have the resistance to resist the attacks of the enemy that is infiltrating the body. Now, what do I mean by rest? I want to turn back to my scripture text here in Hebrews 4, verse 3. I'm sorry, Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The church needs to get into faith, because when you believe, the Bible says that you enter into spiritual rest. But because the church is not operating by faith, we're operating by the inventions of man. We're operating by our own understanding and our own forces. The autoimmune system of the church is compromised. And soon the disease and the virus of gossip starts to get into the church. And soon the disease of bitterness and church hurt starts to infect the church. And suddenly we have unforgiveness against my brother and sister. And now we have an autoimmune disease and the body begins to kill itself. Why? Because you're not in faith. You're not resting. You're trying to lean on your own understanding. And now the body of Christ is sick. And it cannot combat and resist disease because it's not resting on the promises of God. It's not trusting in God. It's not walking in faith. And because it's not resting, the body is compromised. Faith is rest. If you're feeling turmoil, if you're feeling uneasy, then you're not in faith. When you get into faith, there is a peace that passes all understanding. When you put your trust in God, there is a relaxation. There is a tranquility that overcomes the spirit and the mind when you put your trust in God. Hebrews 4 verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The devil is doing everything he can to prevent you from getting any rest, because he knows if you're sleep deprived, that you'll be uncoordinated. You'll trip over yourself. You'll forget things. You won't be able to function the way that God wants you to function. And then he can attack the body with sickness. He can attack the body with all sorts of issues and cause the body to stumble and to injure itself. Church, we need to get to a place when we're truly putting our trust in God. Put your trust in the pastor. Don't put your trust in the deacon. Don't put your trust in the government, in the CDC or the WHO. Put your trust in God. Man will fail you. I'll disappoint you. But I want to point your attention to somebody who's never failed me. Someone who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. He's faithful. Morning by morning, new, I see his faithfulness. He is a faithful, unchanging God. The church is sleep deprived. Sleep deprived. Now, remember all those things I talked about, the effects of sleep deprivation. Let's apply that spiritually. So as I told you, that sleep deprivation, it affects the immune system. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And that's what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to break your spirit. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God sustaining you, you're going to fall apart. The Bible says, I believe it's Psalm 127, verse 1, that it says, except the Lord build the house, they that watch labor in vain. You must rely on the Spirit of God. And so Satan is trying to break. He's trying to compromise your spirit. We see in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? If your spirit is wounded, you're going to fall apart. If your spirit is hurt from church hurt or church offense or something that your daddy did 20 years ago, you will not be able to outlast the trial. You don't have an immune system, a body that's strong enough to overcome it. No, beloved, you need to rest. Quit exerting yourself. Put your trust in God. When the body of Christ isn't walking in faith and resting in God, its immunity to spiritual sickness, it is compromised. Compromised. That's what I'm seeing in the church. I'm seeing disease in the church. The body is sick. Sick. I'm seeing symptoms. I'm seeing someone spiritually coughing up stuff. Coughing up things that no believer should be saying. Spiritually running a fever. We're all messed up because we're not resting in God. Now, the body, the human body, builds muscle and strengthens its bones, and it repairs itself whenever it's asleep. It repairs itself. It builds muscles when you're sleeping. And what's interesting is, just as the body releases these hormones to strengthen itself, God has sent individuals into the body of Christ to strengthen it and to repair it whenever there is damage. We see in Ephesians 4, verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what my job is. My job actually is to put you to sleep. My job is to give you so much faith that you're not worried about paying the bills, so that you would finally get your spirit repaired. My job is to preach the word of God, to build up the body of Christ. That's what the job of the pastor is. That's the job of the fivefold ministry, is to get the body in a position of resting and trusting in God. Sleep deprivation increases weight gain, remember? It decreases the chemical that suppresses hunger and increases the chemical that increases hunger. As I said before, that whenever you're tired, your body tries to compensate by eating junk food. And your ability to think and make decisions is impaired because you're half asleep. And you just want something that feels good. So you're going for that sugary donut. You're going for that bucket of ice cream. You're going for those potato chips. You're going for those pork rolls. You're going for those Twinkies. You're going for all the nasty stuff that you know is bad for your body. But you can't help it because you're weak. And you can't help it because you got this craving. And you just feel hungry and so tired. I just need a sugar rush. I need a Red Bull. I need a Monster or caffeine, something, a black coffee, something to try and increase my strength. And you know that's exactly what happens spiritually. Spiritually, when you're tired, you start getting cravings for stuff that you shouldn't be having cravings for. You start feeding on things that you shouldn't be feeding on, and your judgment is impaired, and you start making crazy decisions and making crazy choices. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one, to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye desire." When you're sleep deprived, the chemical that controls your hunger increases, and the chemical that depresses your hunger decreases. And whenever you're not walking in faith and resting in God, the flesh begins to rise up and the Spirit begins to go down. But when you walk by faith and not by sight, the Spirit of God rises up. It brings down those inhibitions. It brings down the flesh. It kills those carnal desires. That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When you're walking by faith and walking in the Spirit, you'll crucify the flesh. You'll tell the flesh, no, you can't have that Twinkie. You'll tell the flesh, no, you can't have pornography. You'll tell the flesh, no, you cannot gossip. You'll tell the flesh, no, you cannot lie on your neighbor and bear false witness and spread gossip in the church. When you're walking in faith, when you're well rested and you're making good decisions. The church is sleep deprived. Sleep deprived. Sleep deprivation changes what foods you're most interested in eating, creating more intense cravings for fat and sugar-laden foods. Low on sleep, your brain can't make reasoned decisions and use its best judgment about food, and you're more likely to be impulsive and given to junk food desires. And when we aren't resisting, we aren't resting in God, our decision-making is so impaired. We start feeding our spirit the wrong things. Instead of feeding our spirit the Word of God, we're feeding it Netflix. Instead of feeding it a good sermon, we're feeding it Facebook or social media. Or we're feeding it all sorts of other junk. We're feeding our spirit on junk food so that when you come to the house of God, you're not too interested in what the preacher is saying. Your mind is somewhere else. Your mind's on your favorite television show. Your mind's on the ball game that's coming after church. Your mind's on what we're going to eat after we go. We're going to go and corral tonight. We're going to go to some other restaurant. Your mind is somewhere else. And that's why Paul said in Romans 7:14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." I'm sleep deprived. I know I shouldn't be eating this bucket of ice cream, but it looks so good, and I'm so tired. I just need something just to make me feel comfortable. You make all sorts of excuses when you're tired. All sorts of excuses. You know what inspired this message? 2 weeks ago, the last message I preached, I knew I'd overdone it. I went for about 3 days straight, I only had about 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night. And I got up and I preached, and when I got done preaching, I knew I'd overdone it. And I could feel it coming. I could feel the cough coming. I could feel the sore throat coming. My kids had been ill early that week, but they were recovering. My wife had been a little bit ill as well, and she was recovering. And I felt it coming on me. I thought, okay, I'll be all right. I'll try and get some sleep. And for the next 3 days, I tried to get sleep and couldn't get sleep. Barely slept. And by Wednesday, I had a temperature of 103.5. Could barely walk. Went to the doctor, found out I had pneumonia. And it all happened because I wasn't getting enough sleep. 9 times out of 10, when I get up here, I've only had about 2 or 3 hours of sleep the night before. Not last night. As I was studying, this scared the mess out of me. I'm like, man, I'm going to bed. I was working on a message, so I was like, I'll just go to bed. I'll go to bed. And I slept, got a decent night's sleep, except my son woke me up, but that's a whole other story. But I digress. The thing is this, if you're not getting enough sleep, you won't be able to function properly. Sleep deprivation damages the cardiovascular system and increases the risk of heart attacks. When we don't rest in God through faith, our hearts, which is our will and our motives, become susceptible to unbelief and anxiety and fear. When you're not walking in faith, you're more susceptible to having a heart attack, having a panic attack. When something sidelines or catches you off guard, you don't have the faith to resist what the enemy is telling you, and you begin to panic, and you get into fear, and you get into unbelief. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That we must maintain the heart, because it's out of the heart that comes the issues of life. Your heart is your motives. Your heart is your will. Your heart is your aspirations, your goals, your dreams. It's all of that is inside of the heart. And whenever you're trying to serve God and you're not resting in God, your motives start getting corrupted. You start getting a heart arrhythmia. You start having a panic attack. When you start hearing bad news, you can't just brush it off so easily because you're not well rested. You can't think clearly, and suddenly you're having a heart attack right there, because it's through the heart that man believes. Romans 10 verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Satan knows if I can keep you out of faith, that you'll have a heart attack, and if your heart is all out of order, that you will not be able to believe and trust God. He knows that he can attack us with doubts, and that's why the Bible says in Luke 21 verse 26, that men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I want to tell you that you need to get yourself into faith. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm not going to allow the enemy to get me into fear and unbelief and get me to have a heart attack. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You have got to get yourself in a place where your mind is on God. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants you to rest in him and realize that he is your help, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. So now, how do we fix this problem of sleep deprivation? How do we fix this issue of lack of trust in God? Number one, we need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to meditate and preach the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them. And notice this, they are health to all their flesh. That word in the Hebrew for health can also be translated medicine. That when I'm meditating on the Word of God, it puts me in a state of peace and tranquility, and it brings health to my flesh. It enables me to sleep and to rest. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to get rest and you need faith to sleep, the way you get faith is by getting the Word. And the more I hear the Word and meditate on the Word and do the Word, I get more faith, which puts me more at ease. Whose report are you going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. And that's why you can't sleep at night, because you believe what your aunt and your cousin told you. You believe in what the doctor told you. You believe in what the bills are telling you, instead of hearing what thus says the Lord. And because of that, you got no peace in your spirit, and you're having heart attacks, and you're falling out on the floor because you got no rest. Because the body of Christ, which is the church, is in a state of rest, The preachers need to help the body to rest by putting it in a state of faith by preaching the word of God. What I'm attempting to do to you today is to put you in a state of rest, of trusting God. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I have a divine mandate by the word of God to preach the word instant in season. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. My job today is to get you to understand, as Matthew 19 verse 26 says, that with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. John 15, 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall have what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. 1 John 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we desire, whatsoever we ask of him, it shall be done unto us. We will have the petition that we desired of him. When we ask in faith according to the word of God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. We've got to get back to a place of believing what God says, getting back to a place of stepping out on the word, get back to a place of ignoring all the naysayers and all the haters, ignoring all the evidence to the contrary. This is my evidence. He's that solid rock in which I stand, and I shall not be moved. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust him at his word, just to lean upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. We've got to get back to a place where I believe God more than I believe anything else. I trust God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I gotta quit this mess. Number two, my last point. I'm quitting. If you're gonna get at rest, you need to pray in the spirit. You need to pray in tongues. If the body of Christ is going to walk in rest, we've got to learn to pray in the war of the Spirit. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now look what it says here in verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. One of the two biggest things that the devil has fought is divine healing and speaking in tongues. He knows if we pray in tongues, we pray in the spirit enough, you'll get charged up. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 through 2. That he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He builds up himself. He charges himself. If he can stop you from praying in the spirit, you'll never get rest. Because instead you're working in the flesh. The flesh is temporary. The flesh's resources run out. But the spirit is inexhaustible. And if I can get you tied up in some foolishness and trying to figure things out in your flesh, he'll wear you out. If the body of Christ is going to be resting in God and to get over our sleep deprivation, then you've got to learn to pray in the spirit. But the Bible said that this was the refreshing. This is the rest that will cause the weary to rest. But yet the people would not hear. The people refused to actually pray in the spirit. The people refused to get deep into the spirit. You know what happens when you get into a deep sleep? went into what's called REM or rapid eye movement. They say that's when the brain is the most active. It's as if you're awake, but you're actually asleep. But it's in that state that you see dreams. When you're in that state is when you get to, you have dreams. That's where your dreams come from. It's when you're in that deep sleep. When you get deep into the spirit, God will show you dreams. He'll show you things that you can't see yet normally. But because we don't get deep enough in the spirit, God can't show us anything. It's in REM sleep that's when the brain removes all the toxins out of itself. Whenever we get deep in the spirit, the Holy Spirit flushes out all the junk that's in my spirit, all the bitterness and the hatred, the unforgiveness. It's when he flushes it all out. When I get into REM, when I get into his presence, when I get lost in the spirit of God, I see dreams and visions. We got to get deep in the spirit. We need to become a body at rest. A body at rest. It's Newton's first law of motion. That a body at rest tends to stay at rest. And a body, unless it's acted on upon an outside force. We need to become a body at rest. The body of Christ. All of you, all of us, we are members in particular of the body of Christ. And when one of us is hurting, the whole body suffers. And the fastest way to recover from an injury or a sickness is just to go to sleep. Because your body can repair itself more when you're resting instead of when you're being active. You understand what I'm saying? Church, we have got to get into faith. Let's stand. I'm quitting. I got to stop. Will this assembly become a body at rest? Again, you can hear good preaching. That's good nutrition. You could even do the word. But if you're not doing it in faith, which is resting in the promises of God, it won't work for you. There are tons of people who do the word. Oh, they come to church, pay the tithes, and put on a show. But they don't believe any of it, which is the resting. Believing is the resting part. And unless you believe and you rest in God, doesn't matter how many sermons you eat. Go ahead, go to seminary. There are people with PhDs who know Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic better than anyone else. But because they believe none of it, they aren't resting in God. Will this become a body at rest? Will you finally put your trust in God? Your strength does not come from yourself. It comes from God. You've got to put your trust in God. That is where your strength comes from. And God is offering the church this invitation, this opportunity to become a body at rest. God is saying in the spirit, I want Rehoboth, I want the church to trust me. Trust me with your finances. Trust me with your relationships. Trust me with your future. Trust me with the direction that this church is going into. Because if you don't, the body will become compromised. It's very interesting. I'm trying to quit. I got too much stuff in me. Last thing. I know. I said that earlier. Preachers, they break the Ten Commandments almost every sermon. Bearing false witness. I'm trying to quit. Okay. It's interesting, you know. Because what holds the body together are the joints and the ligaments. The joints and the ligaments. And what's interesting is there's a disease called rheumatoid arthritis. And what happens is that it's an autoimmune disease where the immune system begins to see the cartilage and the tissue in the joints as a disease and begins to attack itself. And then the body becomes crippled and it can't walk further. There's pain in the joints. What's very interesting is, in Ephesians 4, I was just reading that earlier, it talks about joints and bands. And it says what holds those joints and bands, what causes increase, is a four-letter word. It's called love. Love is what holds the body together like joints and bands. Love. Thank you, Jesus. Love is what holds the body together. But it's almost like the church is rheumatoid arthritis and we're attacking the joints. We're attacking love. I got to do this. I'm sorry. I got to. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I'm being bad. Turn me to Matthew 5, and I'm going to get my altar call. I'm going to be good, but I feel this in the Spirit. Matthew 5, look at verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I was going to give an altar call, but I realized there's some beef in the church. Don't come down here. Shh. That was prophetic. Hold up a second. Jesus. And that's why the body can't rest. Rheumatoid arthritis, fighting each other, attacking the joints and the bands, the very ligaments that holds us together. He said, leave your gift, go be reconciled unto your brother. I'm giving you opportunity right now. If you got beef with somebody in this room, handle your business. Get it settled now. Come on, don't be shy. You heard what the Lord said. Leave your gift at the altar. Don't even try to come and offer something to God. Say, go and love your brother. Go and love your sister. Go get it handled. I was trying to leave this alone, but I couldn't let it go. I'm sorry. Go to your brother right now. Come on, y'all being phony. I see it. Y'all don't want to be real. Like you don't have a grudge. If your brother or your sister's in this room right now and you got beef with them, I want you to go get it sorted out right now. If the church is going to become a body at rest in faith, faith worketh by love. Jesus. Come on. Give me a few more minutes here. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Forgive your sister. Forgive your brother. Your body will never be at rest. The church will never be restored and to walk in fullness until it rests in faith. And the greatest commandment is first to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Find them. Find them. Forgive them. Embrace them. Put your arms around them. Pray for them. Love on them. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you have love one to the other. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Go get it sorted out. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you've forgiven your brother, you've settled it now. You've settled the matter. Then you can come to the altar. We'll pray with you. We'll minister to you today. But you need to let go and become a body at rest. Let go of the church hurt. Let go of the offenses. Let this assembly become a body at rest, a body that is in faith. Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't we enter into his rest? Let's just pray in the spirit for a moment. This is the rest that causes the weary rest. This is the refreshing. But they would not hear. Come on. Let's enter into his rest. Enter into the spirit. And as you do, God said, I will show you dreams. I will show you things to come. But you've got to enter into my rest. I've got a future for you. I've got a hope for you. I've got an expected end for you. But you've got to enter into my rest. Right now, all over this place, let's begin to pray in the Spirit. Let's get in faith. Let's stand on the Word of God. In the name of Jesus. 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 Come on. Come on right now. All over this room. All over this auditorium. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Enter into his rest. Don't let the devil keep you up at night any longer. Don't let the devil keep you away from that pillow. Rest in God. Rest in his promises. In the name of Jesus. I speak in the name of Jesus. Let there be a spirit of rest that comes upon this body. In Jesus' name.